You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Grace is a wonderful, incredible, fantastic thing, yes? And it's interesting because it's a simple word, five letters, I think, one, two, yep, five letters. Hey, had to count it. One syllable, really simple, right? It's talked about a bunch. We find the word grace in the Bible quite a bit. So it should be something that we should kind of know about. I venture to guess if I step down and I approach any of you here in the front row, if I put the mic in front of you, you'd be able to say without question, be able to give me a really concise, good definition of what grace is, yeah? Not everybody. There's some wide eyes here, right? Maybe not. That's okay. Grace is an interesting thing. It's misunderstood, and I can't help but think that, I'm not so sure that we grasp it really truly for all its full potential. I'm not so sure that we really truly have a good understanding of what grace is. And if we don't understand it, I'm really not quite so sure that we sort of accept it for what it is and what it can do in our lives. You see, grace doesn't necessarily make sense in our culture. Not necessarily, right? It doesn't necessarily jive. A common definition of grace is this: the unmerited favor of God. That's good, yeah? The unmerited favor of God. Unmerited meaning that it's not given based on any sort of accomplishment that you do. Favor meaning that it's generosity or approval or gifting. And we have a difficult time with that, don't we? So much of our culture is performance-based. Yes? If I do something, then I can get something. But only if I do something. If I don't do something, there's no way I'm gonna get what I'm after. Yep? I have to do something, and my performance has to somehow give me some sort of accomplishment so then I can receive something. And likewise, the opposite is true. We may have difficulty giving grace, right? We may stand back and say, well, unless someone does something or shows me something or gives me something, I'm not necessarily inclined then to give them something, yes? So grace is a challenge. Grace is a challenge because it doesn't necessarily make sense. We try to use the word in our culture, and even still, we kind of mess it up. How many of you heard the term grace period before? Yeah? How many of you are thankful for grace periods? Raise your hand. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'm thankful for grace periods. So grace, if you know what a grace period is, it's usually attached to some sort of financial situation or a loan, right? You have a due date by which a payment is due, and then you have this period of grace, this grace period that you have after the due date to which you can still make a payment and not receive any sort of penalty, right? That's what a grace period is. But even that doesn't necessarily make sense when you think of what grace is, because essentially what that's saying is, I'm going to give you grace for a little bit, and then I'm not going to give you grace anymore, right? Which is completely counterintuitive to what grace is in the first place. So we completely mess it up. It's not something we can earn. The fact of the matter is that grace is a gift. If it's something that I can earn, if it's something I can do to obtain, then it ceases to be a gift, right? Then it's a wage, right? I do something and then I get something for it. It's just like a wage. I'm an HR part-time. That's what I do for a living, right? So I know all about you pay people and they do stuff, right? That's a wage. It ceases at that point in time to be a gift. But the whole idea of grace is to be given something that you don't deserve. You don't have to do anything to receive it. And oh, by the way, you can still get it even if you do something that's not so great. I want you to turn, if you've got your Bible, if you've got it on your phone, we'll put it on the screen too. Romans 3. I'm going to start in verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely. Keep that word freely in mind. We're going to come back to the word free. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's good news, yes? That's really good news. Raise your hand in here if you're really good at receiving gifts. Like, you're the folks that run down Christmas morning. Like, some of you are, like, in your 40s and 50s. Yeah. Just slamming down the steps on Sunday morning. Give me the gift. I'm grabbing it, right? That's good. My wife is like that. My wife's incredible at receiving gifts. She loves it. She's really, really good at it. I'm not so good at receiving gifts. In fact, I'm terrible. I'm terrible at receiving gifts. Somebody gives me something out of the blue, my initial inclination is to say, you don't have to do that. And they're like, well, yeah, I know I don't have to do that. That's why I'm doing it, you idiot. You don't have, I didn't do anything to deserve, right? That's me. I don't know if any of you are like that, but that's me. That's how I receive gifts, really, really poorly. And I think there's only one time in my life I can just share a quick story. You good if I share a quick story? Super small, story time with Jed. A quick story about receiving gift that I think was the one time in my life in which I reacted maybe, just maybe, like the appropriate way to react when given the gift of grace from God, okay? Once upon a time, it was a few years back, my wife and I were in a bit of an automobile pickle, meaning that we had a janky car that didn't work very well. We needed a car. We had a lot of things going on in life. We had a terrible car. We needed a new one. It was kids in that scenario, and we were just in a really, really, really tough place. To celebrate that we had this impending gift coming of a baby, some friends had us over for dinner. We were over at their house, and it was wonderful. We're around the table. We're eating. We're having a great time, and they're giving us baby gifts, and we're pulling stuff out. And there's one more thing at the bottom. We pull out this set of car keys. And in that moment, like, I had nothing to say. All I could do, I was just in awe. I was excited. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is fantastic. You run outside just to see the car as fast as you can. And I think that was the one moment in my life when actually I reacted at what I would say would be appropriately, or at least appropriately, to the kinds of gifts that God wants to give us. Yes? I don't know if you had an opportunity to give or get a car, but I encourage you to do it at some point in time. It's fantastic, especially if you can receive it. It's fantastic. Yeah. This is a quote about grace from a man named John Stott. He says this. He says, grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. Grace is love that cares, meaning I see you and I know you and I love you. That stoops, meaning I approach you. And that rescues, meaning I do something in your life, bringing you back from the brink. Amen? I think that's a fantastic definition of grace. Grace is about God. It's not just a thing, right? It's not just something he gives us. Because the reality is that he gives us himself. Here's a quote. In grace, God gives nothing less than himself. Grace, then, is not a third thing or substance mediating between God and sinners, but it's Jesus Christ himself in redeeming action. You see, it's both the defining characteristic of God and the sum total of what he does, meaning that he does not just give us this thing called grace. He himself is grace, and he sees you, and he cares, and he stoops, and he rescues. That's good news. And eternity then comes into contact with us. Eternity reaches down, it comes in contact with us and changes our lives. How many of you have a difficult time looking at your own reflection? There's some chuckles. A lot of us have a difficult time looking at our reflection. And I'm just not necessarily talking about the mirror, right? We see ourselves in the mirror. But also the resume that has our list of things that we have done or haven't done. And you look at the resume and maybe you're not so sure about it. This is all I am. This is all I have to offer, right? Or the rap sheet, just being honest, right? From prison stints, right? This is who I am. You look at yourself in the mirror, all you see are the things that are wrong. You see the things that aren't necessarily correct, the imperfections, the things that have been done to you or that you've done that shackle you, the things that, for whatever reason, are holding you back. And here's the thing. We see our reflection in the mirror, on the resume. We see our reflection in our memory. But I'm here to tell you, when you look at ourselves and we're displeased with that, we're not really looking at ourselves. It's not really our reflection. That's not really truly who we are. Because eternity then comes and impacts our lives. Remember, God cares. He stoops and then he rescues. And when the dust clears, so we're standing. Just imagine, Matthew, we're standing in this lake, right? And the water's up to here. It's this beautiful, clear lake. And you can see your reflection. You've been looking at it for your entire life. And you're not so pleased with it because you don't like what you see. And then eternity comes and comes in contact with you. And all of a sudden, the dust clears, right? The ripples of the waves stop. And you look back down at your reflection and you see yourself now as you truly are because of the grace that's been given to you by Jesus. You see yourself as you truly are. And that's a son or a daughter of the Most High, who's loved, who's cared about so much that a God would stoop and rescue. Amen. And all of a sudden now we find maybe a purpose in our lives. You see, we try to find purpose in all kinds of things, don't we? Who wants to have purpose in their lives? We try to find purpose in our finances, in our jobs, in our promotions, in our relationship with our girlfriend or our boyfriend, in our families, in how big of a house we have. We try to find purpose and meaning in so many things. And none of these things satisfy because they aren't really reflecting the true you. You're not your house. You're not your finances. You're not your relationships. You're not these things. So what you're seeking and what's being reflected back to you isn't really, truly you. Because the reality is it's all about God, right? God is grace. But here's the interesting thing. It's all about him. And interestingly enough, the greatest effect it has is the effect that it has on us. Because grace changes everything. It equips us to do amazing things. I'm going to start in action. I'm just going to read some verses. Here's what grace does. It equips us to do amazing things. Acts 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. How many of you ever want to be introduced like that? This is Nate, full of grace and power, designed to do amazing things. Yeah? Come on. This is Brandon, with grace and power, who does amazing things. It's not just for Stephen, it's for us too. Grace is a declaration on your life that the chains once holding you back are now broken. Romans 6, 14. For sin shall no longer be your master. Come on, somebody say amen to that. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. By grace, we are gifted, each of us, gifted. 1 Peter 4, I'll start in verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Through grace, there are gifts given to you, not just for your own benefit and not just for the glory of God, but literally to go out and change your community and your world. Amen? By grace, we can approach God. I can approach God, yes, by grace, I can approach God. Guess what? To go get more grace, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Come on. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And for those of us who have trouble accepting, for those of us who find ourselves stuck, for those of us who just can't seem to cling on tight enough to the promise, for those of us who have difficulty embracing that God loves you and he has life-defining generational impacts, will work for you to do that's more satisfying than anything you can possibly imagine. I've got a word for you too. This is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. It says, it's okay, I understand where you are right now. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Seize where you are right now, not perfect, even doubting. By grace, you can grow. That is good news. Once you step into the grace that God has for you, something amazing happens. People are drawn to people who step into who they actually are in God by His grace. You know who these people are. We see them around us all the time, right? People that just seem to walk through, and there's purpose in everything they do. Purpose in every step. Purpose in every hand movement. They look you in the eye and there's something purposeful because they know who they are in Christ. Not pretending to be anybody else. Not interested in defining themselves by any other thing, but defining themselves only as God sees them, as son or daughter. And then there's that word earlier I told you to remember, free, freedom. There's a freedom in Jesus to explore and move forward in who we are as saved sons and daughters. And here's the reality, freedom scares us. Can't it? The idea of freedom is really, really great. But actually, you mean I have the freedom to go and move forward? Don't quite know what's going to go on, but God has designed me specifically for a plan and purpose, and now I have freedom to move forward into something that's maybe a little bit scary. Why am I still unable to hear God's plan for my life? Why am I still dealing with the same stuff? Many people prefer to have someone tell them what to do and when and how to believe and why, and the result is a tragic state of spiritual adolescence. I'm just staying. Why can't I move forward? Why can't I go? What do I do? Why do I still have difficulty believing that He actually loves me? But freedom is worth it. How much is it worth? To Jesus, it was worth everything. Your freedom was worth everything to a man named Jesus 2,000 years ago when He gave up everything for you in this moment right now. And that's truth. For Jesus, it was worth dying for. Have you ever witnessed the amazing thing that happens when a child is given the freedom to explore, right? You set them down in a park or in their backyard, you set the child down, and they just kind of have all of this. They've never been there before. Little child, what do I do? They're timid. Maybe they're a little bit scared, right? They don't know what to do or where to go. But eventually something changes in them. You see their eyes get big, right? You see that moment when a first step is going to start. And there you are saying to them, I'm here. You're supposed to be here. I put you here for a purpose. It's safe. You were made for this. Go explore. And then finally their eyes get even bigger. They walk forward with purpose and they start exploring. And I think that's how it is with God and us, as He sets us on the path of purpose that He has for our lives. There's freedom in that. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Another translation says, must walk as He walked. This Scripture changed everything for me, because here's the reality. Years ago, I was pretty good and okay at reading the Old Testament. I could read the Old Testament and digest it and kind of sort of make sense of it. I could read the New Testament and be inspired by it and I could get it. But if I'm honest, I had trouble with the four Gospels. I opened up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and I almost didn't even know how to approach it. I'm just reading about Jesus and I don't know what that means. I'm reading about the things He did, and that's fantastic because He was amazing. Look at how good He was. Look at all the great things He did. And then I read this Scripture and it changed everything for me. What it says is, to know that you abide in God, to be intimate with Him, you must walk as Jesus walked. You must live as Jesus lived. It changed everything about how I read those four Gospels, because all of a sudden, now I'm not just looking at what Jesus did. I'm looking at how He did it. I'm looking at where He went. What was He doing? How was He moving? It changed everything. It brought it to life for me. All of a sudden, I had something to look for. How He lived. How He walked. You see, without grace, it's impossible to walk as Jesus walked. It's impossible without grace to walk as He walked, as He's giving you the freedom to move forward in your life and walk. And how did Jesus walk? How did He walk? What did He do? He changed the world. He absolutely changed the world. In every interaction He had with every person He came across, no matter who they were, Now, years later after he lived, even now we receive the same grace through Jesus. When he walked this earth, he embodied grace in every interaction. There wasn't a person that interacted with Jesus that didn't come away knowing that they were seen and known. Looked him in the eye, and they came away knowing that they were seen and known. Amen. Some of them, and some of us maybe for the first time in our lives. Grace is an incredible thing. It changes everything. It's not just about freedom from sin, though it is about that. It's not just the freedom from condemnation, though it is about that. It's not just the freedom from chains, though it is about that. It's the freedom to see yourself as God sees you, as sons and daughters. No matter what anybody's ever told you, no matter what you've told yourself time and time again when you look at your reflection in a mirror on a piece of paper, your true self is a son or a daughter of the Most High. And that changes everything, my friends. That changes everything. Can I have the band come up? Sons and daughters as people with purpose. I'll ask the question again. Who wants purpose in your life? Raise your hand if you want purpose in your life. You're craving purpose in your life. Here's your purpose. By grace, you've been saved through faith. It's a gift from you. You are precious sons and daughters bearing the very image of God. Now, what do you do with that? Well, you walk as Jesus walked. What do you do with that? You go change the world. You go change your sphere of influence around you. You go change your community. You go change your neighborhood. You go change your family. You change the world. And whatever sphere of life God's given you, because you're an image bearer of the Creator. And likewise, when you come on Sunday and you cry out to God in praise, or when you're praising Him in your car or your workplace or in the middle of a field, you cry out on behalf of the world to Him because you're an image bearer. This two-way image, yeah? The world is in desperate need. The world is in desperate need of you and me to see ourselves and accept ourselves for who we truly are. Sons and daughters of the Most High, given the precious gift of life eternal by grace through faith to change not only our life and the generations that come after us, but the entire world. It's dependent on it. So in a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to open up the altar. And for some folks in here, all y'all want to know is just that you're seen. All y'all want to know is just that you're loved and seen right where you are. And I want you to come forward as we open up the altar. I want you to come forward and let some folks here pray for you. Let some folks here who are walking as Jesus walked look you in the eye, look you straight in the eye and see you and acknowledge and come on your behalf and say, I see who you are. You're a son or you're a daughter. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to open up the altar for that and for anything else that you would like prayer for. We're going to come forward and we're going to cry out together. So if you could bow your heads, I'm going to pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a gathering of your sons and daughters who bear your image and who are changed forever, Jesus, by your blood and who have purpose in you, God. Those of us here, we are so precious to you, so precious, and our freedom is so important to you that it was worth dying for, Jesus. You love us, and you see us, and you know us. God, as folks come forward, I pray, Father, that your presence be here now as we cry out to you, that we see ourselves as we truly are, your precious sons and daughters, God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.